Joe DeFalco in the ring, raising up the future. Got the belts, got the sweat, endless life in a suplex. Future stars, big dreams, breaking all the seams. Las Vegas stage where the spotlight beams. Arena lights flash bright, warriors of the night. Mat slams, crowd roars, showdown of the might. From the rookies to the pros, grinding day and night. Every step, every fight, honing skills tight.
Future stars, destined for the fame. In the ring, they'll carve their name. Blood, sweat, tears, the unending game. Joe DeFalco's legacy, they proudly claim.
Body slammers and high flyers, stars on the rise, taking flights off the ropes to the skies. Arm locks, head spin, never compromise. Gold around their waist, the ultimate prize. Hustle hard, dream big, DeFalco's battalion. Ring warriors bred from lion's den, medallion. Every win, every loss, another step uphill. Forge their own path with an iron will.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, not busy enough for you, I hear.
You know, I have to take a step back after that, you know, hot start with the hot hip-hop track. You know, I've never heard my name mentioned in a song more times in my life.
Well, there you go. That hot AI Swedish band, you know, really has it down for you.
Impressive. Yeah, I was at the kids' class the other day, and one of the dads came in, and he was like, oh, I got this thing. It was an AI track. I'm like, you know, not for nothing. I appreciate it, but it's just a little corny for me. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, well, you know, that's the future. Corny is here to stay. So... all right. This past Saturday, you had the Day of Reckoning. What stood out to you from this past weekend's show?
The Faction Summit, I was surprised to see Kenny King return. And he kind of, he was the dad keeping everybody in check on that one. I was very impressed. You know, you want to talk about the grizzled red. He's got a little grizzled red. He's got that little gray in the beard now, Kenny. But, you know, still looking, you know, he's the man. Like, you can see those guys don't want to disappoint Kenny. So that was a nice little surprise because I was not aware Kenny was going to be there until a little bit before the show when they were talking about him. I'm like, oh, Kenny's going to be here today? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Well, you do realize he was still on his way to Wednesday's class. It's just that he didn't get there until Saturday night. So
no, well, I'll tell you, it was they were like, "Oh, can we move the match back? I'm not sure. Kenny's getting out of work." And I'm like, "We need to make that work, bro. You know, it's like we got stuff that's already set." So, you know, on the injury front, Bodie Young Prodigy, he got concussed in the match. I guess he wasn't even aware of how he climbed to the top rope and hit a 450 to win the match.
Jesus.
So he'll be on the shelf, so he won't be at the Halloween show participating. So, you know, but all overall, you know, everything was going well. I thought Dante King and Luke Curtis was solid. You know, Oasis is obviously knows where his sights are set, and we got that match set, you know, coming up for the Halloween show. We saw the Unguided with a new team, Pumpline, who were, you know, very, very good. You know, it was a good young team that, man, you know, we definitely do have more than enough solid tag teams, but, you know, it's hard to justify not using a good tag team. So they definitely are a good tag team. So it's going to be interesting to see with the Unguided against Transcendence, you know, the perfect night Devil's Night for the Unguided to maybe become tag team champions again. And we're going to announce it right now. Brittany Brooks will defend the title in a stretcher match against Gypsy Mac.
There we go.
It was going to be the casket match, but unfortunately, I found out the casket was basically put 6 feet under, I guess. It has seen better days. I guess it ended up last year. It was damaged beyond repair. I went looking for it last week, and I'm like, hey, Rocky, where's the casket? Oh, we had to throw it out, brother. Like, what do you mean? He was like, oh, I guess couldn't close the lid or nothing. It was like, man, first Matt Justice broke the first one by jumping off the top off the apron with an elbow. It's like, dude, why are you breaking our fucking, you know, that guy's broken two things. Can't have him in the FSW arena. He's also the one who put the hole in the wall with Jacob Fatu.
Yeah. Yeah. When you look at the match between what was going on with Jay and Duke, what does Jay's future hold right now?
Again, you reap what you sow. He's the one who had enough confidence in himself, and now he lost. And you got to give Jay credit. You know, he could just walk out. He lives in Florida. He don't have to come back.
Right.
But he ain't burning bridges. You know, he loves it in FSW. And, you know, the thing is, it wasn't like an open-ended thing. It wasn't like, hey, I'm going to be the servant for 30 days. You know, there wasn't a time frame.
Right.
So that's going to be kind of interesting to see where this all goes. Bateman couldn't even be there. I'm in the back, and I was talking to somebody, and all of a sudden I heard music playing because I was catching a little bit on the monitor, and I'm like, the match ended? And then it was like, wait, whose fucking music is that? And then it was like, oh, shit, yeah, it was Bateman's music, but Bateman wasn't there.
Well, at least this stuff still keeps you on your toes.
So he must, he must have paid off Phil to play the music at a certain point to distract Jay Vidal. And I'm not sure that, you know, Duke needed that help, but he'll take it. Yeah,
sure. Sure. It's almost as distracting as MK. So, you know, that works. What'd you think about the Transcendence and Poor Boys?
You know, did get a little sloppy at times, but you know, the Poor Boys aren't known for their Matt classics, so you know, they're gonna ground and pound, and you know, they're gonna try to do whatever they could, and it ain't gonna look pretty. But, you know, they had some opportunities, but Transcendence once again came on top. And, you know, they've beaten everybody that's been put in front of them. And now we'll see the Unguided former tag champions. I think a lot of people are excited about that one.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be very interesting, and we'll see what happens with Matt and Damian. If they can take those titles away, what else is lined up for Devil's Night?
Well, now that you ask, we also have San Lu will be defending the Nevada State Championship. We're still working on that. After months of being out, AJ Avin returns. Uh-huh. Yes, he'll be making his return in a singles match. Or a triple threat or whatever, but we're figuring out what's going on. Jaden Cole, he ended up hurting his sternum and on doctor's notice was out. Yesterday was the first day he came back to train. So, you know, there's a good possibility, you know, the two young guns might get an opportunity to be in the ring together. You know, we talked about Gypsy. Of course, the Halloween gimmick Battle Royal, where you're going to see a lot of your favorite wrestlers from wrestling's past return from the heavens or maybe from the pits of hell to make another appearance in the Halloween gimmick Battle Royal, which is always a fan favorite. So we got the No Limits title, Dante King Oasis on the line. We got the Nevada State Championship on the line. We got the Tag Team Championship on the line. And we have the faction versus faction match. The stakes are high for Damir Morningstar. He's the special guest ref, and he's got to decide his own fate. As there you go. That's the good part of having a guy like Kenny King.
Yeah.
In that.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell those five guys would have came up with that idea or stipulation to have that match. So now we're intrigued. Is Damir Morningstar going to do the right thing and make the right count? Is he gonna not count for Ice and Braxton? Or is he going to call it down the middle? You know, we've seen many, many times those troubleshooting referees. And sometimes they do the right thing and sometimes they don't. But, you know, for Damir to be in Lights, Camera, Faction, he may have to do something that puts the other members of Lights, Camera, Faction not happy with him. Because if he makes a fast count or does something that costs Ice and Braxton, how are they going to trust that guy?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like Kenny's giving him a test. And it's not a test for Damir. It's a test for all of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, sometimes do factions, you know, because we're talking in the mix right now about six guys, right? So, you know, I remember way back when the Nation of Domination went from one type of faction to another type of faction. I mean, could we see the end of maybe one or two members of this particular faction and a new one forming, essentially? It's a lot of intrigue there. You know, especially with the egos involved now.
Well, you know, I didn't get to hear everything that was said, but I went back just to check it out. And I'll be honest with you. You could see that there's a lot of inner turmoil. You know, what Fresco said was 1,000% correct. You know, when it first started, Braxton kind of made the rules. Ice came in. He kind of took over. And Fresco, you know, Braxton was still not, he was more like the manager type at the time.
Yeah.
But he still had a lot of the influence because he kind of put it together. But it wasn't like four guys and everybody seemingly had an equal vote. It seemed like Braxton and Ice dictated policy. And Fresco and Watson have kind of been there the whole time. You know, Ice was around, but he was ID'd. So there was a lot of times he wasn't around. And WWE had first preference over what was going on. And the faction was kind of pushed to the side. Right. And Watson, if you saw, he was the one, you know, holding fort, wrestling for singles titles and being on all the shows and helping out at Future Shock, wrestling the younger guys. And Fresco would be on commentary if there wasn't, you know, an opportunity for a match. And they kind of, even though they were still the tag team, they were still doing a lot of individual things. So in that time frame, it seems to me that now with Kenny, the faction is, you know, every vote is worth 20%.
Yeah.
And, right. You know, whoever you know, whoever gets the most votes wins. So it's funny because I said it on commentary, as bad as it got the year prior, it never got as physical as it did the other night.
Yeah.
Because I think in the back of their minds, Fresco and Watson were still subservient to what ICE's demands were or what ICE felt was best for the faction. Now right. It's like, it's not me, it's we. It ain't you, it's everyone. And right. I think if they come out of this okay, that they'll be better off than they were before.
Right. Yep. And, you know, again, the question is, I mean, you're talking former FSW champion amongst them, a former tag champs, former No Limits champ. I mean, they all have had titles.
Well, Kenny, Kenny was a former elite champion, heavyweight champion, the first champion, Ring of Honor, TNA superstar.
Yeah.
You know, and in that time frame with Kenny, you know, that's how those guys, well, that's how Braxton got his No Limits title.
Right.
So they've all been champions under the tutelage. And, you know, Ice was the No Limits champion, but he needed the faction to become the heavyweight champion. And he also needed the faction to stay No Limits champion back in the day. So,
yeah. Yeah, you know, so yeah, very, very interesting. You know, thinking of Brittany and Gypsy and, you know, the literal bad blood that was spilled in the last match they had, stretcher match, it seems like, I mean, are we getting close to the, you know, what is going to have to be a blow off between these two? Because I don't know where you go after a stretcher match other than buried alive or.
Well, that was always an idea, but we can't really dig up the concrete. So that'll be a lot of work. Honestly, I thought the blow off was going to be in the steel cage.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So I'm sorry, the first blood match.
First blood, yeah.
And we've got one more. Because bottom line is, at luck of the draw, Maserati is already sitting there. Maserati is technically the number one contender, you know,
yeah.
Without being the number one contender. She's the former champion. She hasn't lost. She needs to get her title match. So at luck of the draw, the women's championship will be on the line. And the one person that we know will be there isn't even the champion. Yeah. It's Maserati. So the winner of this match will be wrestling Maserati for the championship.
Yeah. Which, you know, Maz should have a chip on her shoulder too, because recollection is she still never lost that belt, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. So, you know, very interesting what's going on in the women's division. Sun Liu. So what's the difference between where he was, let's say, about a year or so ago, and where he is now? Is, to me, I just think there's something extra now. It seems like he has a fire under him that, you know, is really starting to show that he, you know, he wants this. And when he is that focused and that invigorated, man, that guy is pretty unstoppable. I think that, you know, if you look at what is considered the quote unquote bloodline now, which doesn't actually necessarily have to mean that you're bloodline. And boy, you can skyrocket quickly to, you know, some heights, especially when you have friends who are actual bloodline up there. And, you know, I could see Hiro, you know, San Lu just kind of, you know, aiming towards the ceiling there.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. You know, obviously, when TBD, they were on that trajectory, they were the tag champions and they were killing it. It was kind of like the idea was Shogun, after his run as the heavyweight champion, that he kind of stepped down to bring up his friend. So when they become tag team champions, it's looked at as if Hiro Sanlu is looking up, hey, thanks, Shogun, for giving me the rub type of thing. And after a while, you know, it probably started to eat at him a little bit because he felt he's the top guy. He just happens to be a top guy that wasn't the heavyweight champion. Right. And guys like MK got in his ear. You should be doing this on your own. You're better than that. You're not his lackey. Don't be holding his fucking bags, blah, 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 blah. And he ended up turning on Shogun. Yep. And then, you know, we have a tragic accident where, you know, Shogun almost dies. Like, this isn't written. This isn't a story. Like, he got fucked up, and we're talking, you know, the anniversary of Chris Bay's accident is basically about a year ago, like this week.
Right.
And Shogun's was literally the night of Thanksgiving last year. So that was 11 months ago. And in, from, you know, November to January, February, you know, maybe into March, we weren't even sure, you know, how we would even function, let alone wrestle. And, you know, I think that really changed how Hiro saw things in life and in wrestling. Because at that point, and does it coincide? I don't know. But Hiro took time off. And he was kind of not even part of FSW around that time. Like, he did like a, he did like a Rumble match he might have did last year. But that was one of the last things he did.
Right.
And he was gone in that time period. So now I think, you know, he's reinvigorated, you know, his friend that he turned on that had made amends. They're all good. But you know what? They're all good. But now Hiro, he's got a destiny. And now he's become a singles champion, and he's the guy that many people can see carrying the torch and being the FSW heavyweight champion down the line.
Yeah.
And there's no more shadow, because he's a pretty big shadow, Shogun, for Hiro, who in most cases, you look at that guy and you say, that guy has a shadow. You know, he should be standing alone. But just because of the way things are, it's kind of like, you know, the Bay crew. You know, you're in Bay's shadow when you were there. And there was Sepha and Shogun and Hiro. You know, Hiro was like, you know, the little guy in terms of, you know, clout when it came to those guys who hung out together and stuff. So now Hiro gets to stand on his own. And, you know, we have the moment when Shogun came back, you know, he basically kicked MK's army to the curb. Yep. And now he's standing tall. Now the question becomes, who's getting that shot at Hiro or San Lu? And, you know, where does he go from there?
Yeah. Fresco wants it known that the faction summon is the only thing we need to talk about.
Well, yeah, we just did for about 10 minutes. You know, if Fresco wants to chime in, he could come in. You know what I mean?
So, you know, when you look at the luck of the draw coming up on the 23rd, and you look, you know, talking more faction, you know, Ice, you got Kenny King, you got Shogun, we just talked about, you got Graves and Hammerstone, you got Remy Marcel. Of course, you know, Chris Bay is the special guest host. Killer Cross is back. When you look at all these champions, are there any champions that so far you've kind of looked at and maybe tried to reach out to or couldn't get a hold of? Is there anyone that, you know, maybe got overlooked or, you know, possibly might be coming back depending on schedule?
Well, obviously, Danny Limelight felt like he got overlooked because he cut a scathing promo about what about him. And, you know, I didn't forget about Danny, but I thought he was retired.
Yeah.
From sure. From wrestling in Vegas, you know, because I know he wasn't retired from wrestling because I've been seeing him all over the place.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we've been chatting. So we've been talking with Kevin a little bit. So, you know, hopefully something in that manner will happen. But, you know, the funny thing is, it's like we're still more than 4 weeks away. We're still more than a month away. That's how much promotion we've gotten out early.
Right.
For this. So there's a lot of time left, you know, and it's like I keep putting together the mock, you know, people have the mock drafts. I have the mock rumble list and, you know, I pull the mock rumble list and it's like, wow, I got probably 40 names. So it's like, OK, well, here's a good way to add 3 or 4 names. You know, Fresco and Watson could go in together. Sky High could go in together. You know what I mean? It's if you're not in a tag match and you're a legit tag team, well, I kind of created that a few years ago where, you know, 4 guys from the faction all came out together. And it's like, well, what's the sense of having this group that when you have this rumble match, they don't work together? And they're all random 1, 12, 17, and 26. Well, the fact that they're a faction in the most important match or in a group, they don't get to work together in it. So I'm like, hey, I think I got a good little idea and concept. And everybody seemed to, you know, like that idea.
Yeah, I think that actually works wonderfully. And it's, I mean, it really is. It has to be hard looking at, you know, all these names and trying to figure out how the puzzle pieces fit because.
Because you're trying to get the younger kids done that have really worked hard. You know, I'll tell you right now, Jaden Cole's in the match. You know, I'll tell you, obviously, Bodie's in the match. You know, Duke's not the Nevada State champion anymore, so he's going to be in the match. And then we have, you know, the 6 champions. So, you know, the first
you're already at 10, you know, essentially right there.
But you know, you can count in your head. It's like, okay, if you take away the tag teams, all right, who's going to have title matches? Because we have women in the match. So if Maserati's wrestling the winner of Brittany and Gypsy, there's a good chance the loser of that match will be in the Rumble match. I can tell you right now, Zamaya will be in the Rumble match. I can tell you he wasn't available, but Luke Curtis, the winner of the Battle Royal, the Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal, he will be in the Rumble match. And, you know, the future shot guys who are getting to be wrestling, you know, regardless of everything, Davion Jacob, Demir Morningstar, Adrian Rain. There's three more names right. that'll be, you know, so I could get close to 20 just naming off my top of my head. Kevin Koa will be in yeah. the Rumble match. So.
And that's not, these are just names that are, you know, currently on the roster, you know, people that this isn't like throw in a surprise, like a Juicy or something like that, even, you know.
Right. And that's all possibilities because, you know, right now we're locking in January. Juicy's company is coming to Vegas and they're going to be we're waiting for the announcement. But he hit me up a couple times. I'm wondering if he's trying to piggyback it off a power slap appearance on the Friday, because I believe it was like January 10th or 11th or something. He's looking to do something. Yeah. So there's numerous people from the past. You know, I always got, you know, Tito Escondido on speed dial.
Sure.
And Tito would have Che on speed dial. And, you know, now that they lost, well, Jimmy Jack and Chase Bell
yeah.
would probably be in the Rumble. And but now not. I'm over 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now is Young Money, maybe they'll be in a pre-show. I don't know, because I can't put 10 tag teams in the Rumble. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like, well, what about the Asylum? And what about? And what about? And what about Oliver Kennedy? And what about Sanders? And, you know, what about the guys on Future Shock? Oh, Brandon G, Ricky Tenacious. I guess yeah. they'll be in as a tag team. So the 30 becomes 35, but I was already thinking of going to 35, which might mean 40 people will get to be in the Rumble.
Yeah.
But, you know, to make sure the time's exactly the same, instead of 1 minute intervals, we'll do 53 second intervals. That way it saves 7 seconds on 40 guys. That's 280 seconds. That's 4 minutes and 35 seconds shaved off, 4 minutes and 40 seconds shaved off the top.
But the question is Santana still in the back doing his makeup while he's being announced? He could be.
You know, he still wasn't eliminated.
Yes.
Right. And maybe we'll give Santana Jackson the opportunity to redeem himself.
Right. yeah, it's, you know, it's fascinating. Again, it's, you know, when you look at it, I can't stress enough how competitive it is in terms of, man, when you get out there and you get a chance to perform now, whether it's on a Future Shock, whether it's on a show at FSW, whether it's on a casino show, you have to perform. You have to come through, man.
And I'll tell you what, right now, Cross has got a match.
Right.
Sharp will wrestle the winner of the Rumble.
Right.
The women have a match.
Right.
Okay. That's four matches. The tag team titles will be on the line. That's five matches. Right. That leaves room for one match.
Yeah.
But there's also the Nevada State Championship and the No Limits Championship. So at least one of those will not be defended. So whoever the champion is will be in the Rumble.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, the other fascinating thing too is that Sharp, you know, he defends it against the winner of the Rumble. So that's one match that has a spot taken away from, you know, someone. It's occupied by the winner of someone who's already in the Rumble. So that's another spot technically gone for one person.
Right. And then on the 30th, Dante King wrestles Jordan Oasis. Whoever loses that match is guaranteed to be in the Rumble.
Right. Yeah.
Because either or will be in the Rumble.
Right.
So that's another spot.
Yeah.
So then you got these fringe guys, and, you know, there's Future Shock guys that, as of right now, yeah, they're in the match. But now if all of a sudden I make a call like I did with Graves and a name from the past pops up, that spot will be now no longer go to that future shot guy.
Right. So, you know, so maybe that future shot guy should dress up like one of the guys that potentially could take their spot at the Halloween Battle Royal. And then in case that person no shows, they'll be ready to go on as them.
It's possible. You know, Brandon Gadsden hits me up and says, I'm going to be in Vegas. What you doing on the 23rd? I'm like, well, I guess you're going to be in the Rumble.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see Brandon.
All former champions are welcome. You know what I mean? If I got a former champion wants to hit me up.
And we haven't even talked like Mazzani being back. So
Dave Mazzani is like, I'm pretty sure he's set, but I haven't talked to him in a couple weeks. But Dave Mazzani will be in the Rumble. As of right now, Class and Reno.
Right? Yeah.
Will most likely be in the Rumble.
Yeah, it's crazy. This, I mean, you know, think back to you know, Diversion and the 2-night anniversary show and the, you know, bringing the Rumble back for the first time since COVID. As big as that seemed then, you look at this now a number of years later and you go, man, if you thought the talent 4 or 5 years ago was huge, now it's insane. It's
yeah, how nice would it have been to have Toa Leona and Juicy and EC3 in the Rumble this year.
Right. Oh man. You know. Well, I think you could still get Toa, right?
We've discussed the Boricua Puerto Rican show already, Mania week, and he seemed quite interested. So,
yeah. I mean, you know, talk about guys who are doing some good stuff. You know,
being put with Ricochet, but they've really evolved. You know what I mean? Yeah. They were just like, you know, they were there, but now they actually got some substance behind them. Yeah. And Khan has a great look.
Yeah.
Oh. You know.
Yeah, and it's given Ricochet a chance to have, you know, his personality and boost those guys as well. And it's fun to see the potential that was just kind of floating around now kind of get tapped, and you start going, oh yeah.
You know, everybody likes to, you know, talk about WWE, AEW, this sucks, that's great, blah, blah, blah. The difference, the most important difference for the wrestlers is in WWE, when they would sign somebody like Khan and Toa, instead of being on the main roster and barely ever appearing and being as green as they are and not getting any experience, they would have been in NXT wrestling week after week after week. Yeah. So I believe AEW stunted the growth of guys like Jungle Boy and Toa and all these guys that they kept on the roster, but they never really used because there was no room for them. They wrote them off. They were done. They were getting paid. Look at Brian Cage for a year. Look at Lance Hoyt. Yeah. Look at all these guys that they didn't utilize. You could have had Toa and Khan as tag team champions 2 years ago, if 4 years ago you had him in a developmental program where they actually wrestled all the time.
Yeah.
If absolutely. You never wrestle, how do you get better?
Yeah.
And that's what I always didn't understand when I hit up Jungle Boy when he got signed. It was like, it was during the pandemic, so they weren't doing shows barely to begin with, and they weren't barely using them. And it was like, so here's this 21, 22-year-old kid who's trying to break out, and now we're stopping him from having any matches. Like, where's he training? It isn't like there's a facility like with WWE. Everybody's in Florida. Like, right. He was in his house probably up in Sacramento area waiting for a call. Yeah. But he wasn't training and he wasn't wrestling. Maybe he had a random wrestling school that he went to, but he wasn't going to jeopardize his contract.
Right.
And he didn't get an opportunity to wrestle. And now we're seeing Toa. Wow, he's here now. Yeah. Well, if he would have wrestled all those shows in a row, wow, maybe in 2023 he could have broke out.
Right.
And they could have broke out as a tag team instead of just being in the sixth man with Brian Cage when they felt like doing that match. And now he gets to wrestle in a match that has MVP, Shelton Benjamin, and fucking Bobby Lashley. Yeah. Like, how great is that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. And I think you just, your next Mecca, I think you just came up with a great match. Cage and Hoyt versus the Gates of Agony.
Yeah, you know.
A lot of beef.
I'll tell you what, you know, people who know me saying that I think Lance Hoyt's one of the nicest people I've ever met. I love Lance Hoyt. Super nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, and Cage is okay too, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he gives me the wife discount, you know what I mean?
Right. Oh, man. And talk about two of the cutest kids on this planet, man. Cage and Melissa got two damn cute kids. It's
amazing. What are you saying? Cage is in his, and all his other wives' kids that he has with aren't?
Well, I'm
just
saying.
Trying to say?
That's, you know,
kind of rude right there. You can get canceled for something like that.
If I would have seen the other kids, you know, that'd be great. I'm just saying, these are kids right in front of me. I can see them.
Oh, okay. There you go. Good way. Good save.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Look at this. I got to talk about it before we wrap up in a little bit here. So on Monday, November 24th at 8 p.m., there is going to be a night with Killer Cross. It's an intimate evening with a killer, which is it's just brilliant. Tickets on sale, $100. What can people expect? And, you know, is this I'm assuming this is something that we could see sell out fairly quickly because of the space. Yeah.
Yeah. You would hope. I think if it does okay, then it's definitely something we're going to maybe want to do WrestleMania weekend when thousands and thousands of fans, because not that I want to compare myself to Kevin in any way, but me and Kevin are similar in terms of, when we're talking about things, we don't try to like sugarcoat it. We don't try to avoid. If I got an issue, I'm saying it,
yep,
and I'm naming it. And yep. Kevin just popped the documentary yesterday. I didn't get a chance to see it yet. I caught like a glimpse of it. He sent it to me because I was telling him about, you know, showing him the flyer, you know. I get it. You want to have an intimate night with The Undertaker and you're going to pay $500 at the Fountain Blue. He's going to tell you the stories that he wants to tell you.
Right.
Kevin, especially in Las Vegas, people know him from before he was a star. So he has no problem being open and honest. And as you see now, he'll go on every podcast and he'll tell you how it is. You know, when I thought the idea of what was going on was a work and he would tell me stuff, 2 months later, you found out that what he told me was the God's honest truth, you know? So it's not only just Kevin talking and talking about, you know, his start, which everybody knows in FSW and, you know, training with Disco, and that's how we got in with Conan and TNA and all this other stuff. But Kevin is going to take questions from the fans and answer your questions as honestly as he's always done. So you know, that's something I'm pretty sure the Undertaker isn't going to sit and do. And, you know, he's got that mystique about him. You know, Kevin has that mystique about him, but it's weird because he's able to turn that off and be upfront and honest and tell it like it is. Yeah. And, you know, Atox messaged me like, hey, Zeke hit me up about the cross thing. What do you think about having a couple of matches? And I'm like, well, that could be something like as a pre-show. We could write, you know, do a couple of matches, which got me to thinking. And I mentioned it to Kevin because the idea is Kevin's going to come in Monday and at 5 o'clock, we're going to have Kevin Cross do a seminar with the younger kids. And, sure. You know, Kevin ain't going to charge a lot of money. He ain't going to go when you see on the internet, you see guys that are marginal trying to charge $100 for a fucking seminar. It's ridiculous. Right. So, you know, we're probably going to be in the $40 range, make Kevin a little extra money since he's coming in on the short for me. You know, right. and helps us get some money back by him doing what he's doing for us. Right. And it's like, well, come to the seminar and maybe we're going to pick, you know, a couple of guys from the seminar to get a match.
Sure. That's actually a great idea. Yeah.
You know, and we've done that in the past when it's been like, hey, Jushin Liger.
Right.
You know, he ended up picking in. Funnily enough, was Carl Fredericks, who ended up going to the New Japan Dojo when Rocky Romero was there with them. He was already on the card, so we had to pick somebody else, but that's how Spider got on the show.
Right.
That, you know, I guess Liger was big on Cheeseburger back in the day at Ring of Honor. Right. And he liked the character, and he liked the gimmick, and he liked the Spider Warrior, you know? Yeah. And those are where it opens the doors for people to get opportunities that, you know, not all the time you're going to. But the idea is also Kevin will sit there and critique that pre-show match. I don't think we'll do two matches. I think maybe we do a triple threat or something. You know, yeah. One match is good, warm up the crowd, and then Kevin can, you know, basically critique him in front of the fans. And, yeah. You know, and say what he looks at and what does the Fed look at and what are the companies looking for and how to, you know, be seen, because look at our roster. There's a lot of really good wrestlers. So why did Jay Vidal get picked to be in TNA? And why did Jay Vidal get picked to be kind of not used in TNA and had to be asking for his release? You know what I mean? Or, you know, why did Chris Bay explode? And, you know, but in the beginning, he was always putting over X Division guys until they finally decided that he'd be a guy that they were going to invest in and he was going to get the belt. And right. How did the tag team, you know, this is something we could do with a Chris Bay that is just as available. You know, we have guys that transcend wrestling, especially independent wrestling.
Oh, it's definitely a big roster. It's
too big sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's the good thing because, again, look at the show this past weekend. Hey, Bateman wasn't there. Sharp wasn't there. You know, the Class and Reno weren't there. The Suavecitos, the Mariachis. It's like, man, anybody else is doing a show that has those guys on their roster. If I eliminate those guys, man, you got a lot of Future Shock guys on a show that's not supposed to be Future Shock.
Right. That's very true. Yeah.
So, you know, we're excited, man. It's like we got stuff going on this week, you know, with WOW. And then next week, starting on Monday, the LFC is going to be using the facility to train. And then on Thursday, we got, you know, the Halloween show. And then on Friday, the Made Fight Leagues, they got an event at our facility. And Friday, also, the LFC, they needed the venue. So Shakur's got a place called Club 828 that I'm working with him with. And the LFC is going to be there for Friday night. And now we have a new comedy show called Saturday Night Raw Saturday at midnight with a guy, Diaz Mackey, I'm friends with, through a guy, Scratch, who used to be one of our managers. And we were doing some skit with something, and it was Mackey Steen and Associates, which Diaz's last name is Mackey. And I always knew him from that. He enjoyed wrestling. And we've stayed Facebook friends because this was at the old school. So I haven't seen him up until about 2 weeks ago. For the first time, I've seen him physically in person in probably 12 years. But we've talked and we've talked and we're trying to do some stuff, you know, squared circle comedy or whatever at the FSW arena. But now we got a venue that's got a bar. And yep. November 1st at midnight, we're going to be starting up a comedy show. And we're going to try to keep it like, you know, wrestling oriented, the Shocker and maybe an RVD or Getting Morrison. But it's going to be, you know, a full blown comedy show. And, you know, so hopefully our idea of doing stuff and beers and body slams will probably be at that place also, the Club 828. And, you know, we're working on the date with that. And maybe, you know, hey, we have the show first. The wrestling event into the comedy show keeps people there. You know what I mean? And, you know, it takes me back to my youth when I was a youth back in the day, you know, running the nightclub and the Tracked Acts and having, you know, the Stevie B's and the Cover Girls and all that stuff. And, you know, getting back into promoting a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I've been fortunate with the success of FSW, have met a lot of people over the years. And, you know, now it looks like maybe that'll come to fruition to be able to expand what I'm doing with FSW and involve myself. Because we have some ideas about the beers and body slams to really make it different than just, I went to FSW last week. Why would I go to this? Well, to be more of a, you know, all age kind of entertainment event, you know, Hood Slam's done a great job of that up in NorCal where they draw so many people and most of them aren't really wrestling fans.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, we've had this concept in the brain for many years trying to do stuff over at the Hustler Club when we worked with them a little bit, when they did the midget wrestling and trying to do it at the beers and body slams. So it's like, you know, might as well strike when the iron's hot, because it seems like wrestling now is back into that core culture, that the cult classics and wrestling is now come around full circle to where people are giving a shit about it. So it's like, if we can incorporate the music and the comedy and all aspects of entertainment, I think we might have a winner.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, again, you got to strike while that iron's hot, because when it ebbs and flows, man, and sometimes when it hits that dead period, it's hard. And now it's exciting because everyone wants to see wrestlers live, which is great because it's another generation of kids.
Oh, and lest I forget, because I know we talked a little bit about it on April 10th, I had mentioned that we're going to be working with the Henderson Silver Knights once again.
Yes, right.
Okay, so yesterday, Atox sent me a message. And it was, they already advertising it. It's a wrestling night presented by SMI. Get ready for high flying action packed night at the Silverton, as the Silver Knights host Wrestling Night presented by SMI. Experience the thrill of live wrestling right in the heart of Henderson alongside your favorite hockey plays. Don't miss exclusive in-game appearances from local wrestling stars. And it's like, so I had a message Chandler, the guy, and it was like, hey, I saw this. Somebody sent me. I'm assuming this is our stuff, correct? Oh, yeah, you know, we'll get your name mentioned. And it's like, okay, let people know. It's like, how about you let me know before, when you're announcing it, so we can put it out there and share it? You know what I mean? We're excited about it. I know it's a long ways away, so I didn't think they were going to start promoting it in October.
Right.
But, right. Yeah, so it's going to be a Friday night, April 10th, a week before WrestleMania. They're playing San Jose. And, you know, guys like they're very fond of Bodhi. They like the young kid. Right. So he'll probably be there. Vandegrift and a few of our favorites trying to get, you know, the Kennys of the world and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, as I said, you know, striking while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
And yeah. This is something that we, and now we're going to discuss it, because my thought was we were going to do it in the atrium where we did it, which looks great. You got the thing overhead and everything's down there. It looks fantastic. Right. But if it's the hockey game, why can't we put, you know, carpet or whatever right after the game, and boom, we can bang out that ring and put it in front and center in probably 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We'll have full staff there. So we're going to have that discussion. It would be fantastic to be right in the main room where the hockey is going on, because it's going to be, yeah, I guess it's during intermission and things like that, because I've also right. pitched to them wanting to do a show in conjunction where we could do it with, so that's the next step, doing a show with the indoor football team. Oh, so sure. Their game ends, they do an afternoon game, 2 o'clock, game ends at 4:30, boom, 5:30 start time, included in your ticket. We run a full-fledged, like, mecha-type show.
Yeah.
But yeah. We don't do that in the atrium. We do that on the main floor, because it's already got...
It's the floor is set. It's not the ice.
Yeah, it's the artificial turf or whatever.
Right.
So we don't have to worry about the ice. So, yeah. Right. So hopefully that's something we can really, progress with and keep that relationship, because we've done stuff with them the last couple of years already. Probably about three years probably now we've worked with. And it ain't working with the Silver Knights. It's working with the people who run, which was the Dollar Loan Center Leeds Family Forum. So it was with Omar, who was a fan who came to the show, got to meet at Morrison, and we met, and now he's running their soccer team in New Zealand.
It's crazy.
But we've still kept the relationship. So it's, the guy, the CEO, the guy who runs the arena, loves the wrestling. So it's like, okay, well, give us a good show for a way better price than you're telling us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't want that AEW price.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But you'll take the AEW fan size, though.
Oh, for sure.
Just remember here, coming up on Thursday, October 30th, will be the Devil's Night at FSW Arena, 7 p.m. start time.
Yeah. You know, like I said, a bunch of titles are going to be on the line. We got a stretcher match. You know, the Unguided looking to recapture the goal. Former tag champ AJ Aben. He sold a bunch of tickets. He's got, it's his first match back in months. Yeah. So he's excited. Bodhi probably will not be there, as I said, But maybe Shogun will show up. We got the faction versus the faction. In the Halloween gimmick battle royal, I got Thad talking about coming as China. We got Christian, who really looks like Dirty Dom. I said, you're young, you haven't trained that much, but you're doing pretty well. If you come as Dirty Dom, then we'll let you be in the battle royal.
And who knows, that's a Thursday night. Maybe Dirty Dom will be in town and actually show up to see.
I'm going to hit him up now that you mentioned it.
Yeah. Actually, that's something that, you know, Dominic would just really fucking enjoy to see someone.
I tell him he can bring his crew from San Diego, and they can roll around in the ring right after the show.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, final words before we wrap up.
You know, Day of Reckoning went very well. We continue the hot streak of great things happening at FSW. We got a lot happening the next, you know, pretty much till WrestleMania week.
Yeah. You know,
working on a new date for No Escape that we're looking back, hopefully late January, early February on that. And, you know, we are 9 days away, annual Halloween show, always a fan favorite. It's always good to see some of the fans. We know the Furman crew, I can't say, but they've let me know what they are going to dress as or who they're going to dress as. Nice. Interesting concept. If you ever remember, it was the Three Faces of Foley.
Sure.
It's going to be similar to that with a FSW wrestler who's been with us a very long time, who a lot of people have said has had many character evolve. Let's say he's evolved many different times.
Yes, yes.
So they're going to be, I believe it's going to be one, the Four Faces of, and now you have to come to the show to see.
Nice. That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, this is exciting. Again, you know, it is going to be on the 30th for Devil's Night. And, of course, Luck of the Draw at Silverton on the 23rd, 5 p.m. local time. Yeah, it's amazing. And now we'll let you get back to the various text messages of
I've been doing it while the show was on. People are asking me, I guess Jimmy Jack overslept because he was there till 5 in the morning yesterday and he was supposed to be back at 9 o'clock. And then it turned out he didn't make it, so I had to scramble to try to get somebody. And, you know, God bless him. He had to take a bus, and it took a while. But, you know, he wanted to work, you know. And, you know, we got him there, but trying to make sure they match up because it's not where the ring is. It's a different place. And then, wow. So if you're near downtown tonight and tomorrow night, they're taping their final two episodes, which is probably their final 16 episodes. Yeah. Probably like, you know, 12 episodes each day.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So the entire year got, so half the year got taped last week and the second half of the year. So if you want to be that, watch the spoiler alert, you know, maybe you can find a Vegas casino that'll take action on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell Dave McLean that he better get Jeannie Buss to make sure betting is allowed on WOW. And if he does that, I'll get him the ring crew for free.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, there you have it, everyone. Until next time, enjoy the week. And,
yeah, you might even see me there. I might even pop in to say hello to Dave and his friend Jeannie.
Yeah, absolutely, right? You know, that little known Jeannie Buss.
Yes. See if she wants to invest 0.0001 of the money she made from the Lakers sale.
Right. There you go. All right, everyone. Until next time, happy wrestling, everybody.